Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Hello, church family. I am so excited to be at church today. I hope you are as well, whether you're joining us online or whether you're here in the house as a guest. We want you to feel at home and welcome today. But you know what? Before we jump into today's message, I want to take a minute to express my thanks for your generosity last week with the annual vision offering. Some of you did something very special last week, and many of you generously gave above and beyond your regular tithes and offerings and really stretched and did something special that I know you've been praying about. Others have pledged something that you're going to give and follow through on before year's end. But listen, we could not do what we do without all of you. And so your strength and support, it means the world to us. And it will allow us this year to complete some much needed kind of renovations and upgrades that will allow us to do what we do even better than we do it now. And so thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And it's something that every year kind of opens my eyes to just how much we're in this together. And I can see in what you give, those hard-earned dollars, I can see your heart. And I know that you're giving it because you love this church. Now, if you haven't given yet to the vision offering, but you'd like to, didn't realize that it was last week, you still have until the end of the year to be a part of that. I would encourage you to go to calvary.ca/give. And you'll see the drop-down menu there will allow you to choose the vision offering, and you can give today to be a part of this miracle moment. I want to extend a big welcome to all of you as well, whether you're here or live in person or joining us on our broadcast. But I especially want to say welcome to all of you that are here as a guest of somebody else. We want you to feel at home. We want you to feel that you were welcomed and that your experience with us today added strength and value to your life. So welcome to all of you. If you're here in person, go ahead and fill out one of those blue cards that say welcome home. We have a special gift for you that you can drop by the welcome area on the way out and pick up. And if you're joining us as a guest online, perhaps, tell one of the hosts that are on there that you're here for the first time. Give them your information, and we've got a gift for you as well. All right, go ahead and grab your Bibles, if you will, and you can even navigate to calvary.ca and click on messages at the top, and you'll be able to see the notes that are included for every Sunday's message, so make the best of that. I want to give you a heads up on some exciting things coming your way. Coming up on Sunday, June the 15th, I've invited a good friend of mine, Pastor John Burns, to come and speak to us on Father's Day. Pastor John is truly one of the fathers of the faith in our city. And so he's been with us before, he and his wife Helen, but you're not going to want to miss Father's Day on the 15th. Then on Grad Sunday, June the 22nd, I've invited our very own Wyatt Herrville to be here. That's right, you heard it here. Spread it far and wide. He's going to be speaking for our episode 7 of our series. And so I'm excited about that. And he's going to be praying for the grads on that week as well, for Grad Sunday. But he's got a message that you will not want to miss. So mark those dates on your calendar. Invite a friend and come and be with us. Today, we are in week number 5 of this 8-episode series that we've called The Heart of Discipleship, a journey of spiritual growth. And I really hope that you've been enjoying it as much as I have. I've heard a lot of great feedback from people that these truths, the things that we're walking through, are really hitting home. And so that's a wonderful thing to hear that. You know, our series has focused on the growth of your faith as we develop as fully devoted followers of Christ. And as a Next Steps church, this is a perfect Next Steps series. And our key text, as many of you know, you've heard me say it each and every week, Matthew 28, It's the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 18 to 20 says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely," and this is a wonderful promise, "I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now, as followers of Jesus, we are called to make disciples, but before we can make disciples, we need to be disciples. Makes sense, right? And that's what this series has been about. Those important next steps that we've identified to go deeper with God. It's kind of a low and slow process as opposed to an overnight situation. We've learned how to spend daily time with God, to look at our day, to honor God with the best that we have, which is often the first part of our day. If we don't maybe put that time aside, it gets away on us. So spending daily time with him is so important. We talked about the significance of being planted in the local church, of putting our roots down so that we and our families can grow and be healthy. And then we also talked about loving one another all along the way as we grow and are shaped by God together. So it's about growing and going. The two are hand in hand. But I believe that none of that is possible effectively without today's message, because it's only through Spirit-empowered living that we can grow and go effectively. Now, I understand that even today, there are still some people that have some confusion about the work of the Holy Spirit, either in Scripture or in our lives. And you know what? I certainly was in your seat. I know what that's like. When I first came to Christ in my teens and heard about the work of the Holy Spirit, sometimes referred to as the Holy Ghost, it was a little confusing to me. I kind of scratched my head. But I also began to learn that a life of discipleship is only made possible through the empowering presence of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit, discipleship is it's merely this exercise in willpower. I just have to be a good person. We all know that only lasts so long. Pursuing God's will in our lives with our own strength is futile. It's not something that we can pull off. And maybe for some of you, that's what faith has kind of felt like. You feeling maybe worn out or, just exhausted by the whole process because you're trying to make your life work without the Holy Spirit involved in it with you. But here is the best news of all. Here's the good news, because with the Holy Spirit, discipleship is an experience in God's power that is for all of us, if we'll allow him to work in our lives. And you know what? As your pastor, that's what I want for all of you. Whether you're joining us from home or somewhere around the world, or whether you're here in the house, I want that for each and every one of you, to live this adventure of a real relationship with the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. A gentleman named Mark Batterson is the lead pastor of a great church in Washington, D.C., called the National Community Church. And he said something that stuck with me. This is a great church that actually Vince and Mark and Kurt and I visited when we were in D.C. once, when we were close by at a conference. But we attended his church. But this is what he said: "In my experience, take the Holy Spirit out of the equation of your life, and it spells boring. Add him into the equation of your life, and you never know where you are going to go, what you are going to do, or who you are going to meet. It is an incredible adventure to trust him, to be led by him, to be guided in this life by the Holy Spirit." And you know what? My first encounter with the Holy Spirit was probably in my mid-teens. My mom came home with her friends from a crusade tent meeting, an evangelistic tent meeting. And she came home just like unglued, filled and overflowing and just talking 100 miles an hour, saying things I didn't even understand. And at first I was like, what is going on? And I knew that it was still my mom. I knew that she wasn't changing overnight, but I could gradually see her becoming the best possible version of herself. And so I needed to understand, because when I talked to her, she would talk about the Holy Spirit filling her and giving her this strength and guiding her. And so again, like maybe some of you today, I was kind of scratching my head going like, I don't understand. And so I kind of pressed in a little bit, because in watching her change, something was happening to me too, because I began to have a hunger and a thirst to know him the same way that she did. Now, for those of you that don't know, next week is Pentecost Sunday, and this is a significant day in church history as it relates to the Spirit-empowered living that we're talking about in the early church and even for us today. It helps us to frame up and put in perspective what God is doing in the lives of people that he fills, like my mom. And that created a hunger and stirred something up within me where I wanted to study and learn and understand, because it's from that understanding that we can experience that life ourselves. Now, the story of Pentecost is really that God knew that we would need power to live this life of faith. So I think it's best that we maybe kind of wind back the clock and look at the first Pentecost in the Old Testament. The word Pentecost is not mysterious. It's not hard to understand. It just simply means 50th. And because the first Pentecost was 50 days after Passover, and the miracle of Passover is where the nation of Israel was protected from the angel of death. A lamb was slain that put blood over the doorposts of the doors of God's people, and that death angel passed over and spared their lives, led them and freed them from Egypt, pursued by Pharaoh, hot on their heels. They crossed the Red Sea. God closed it up and wiped those soldiers that were chasing them down out. And then they continue in the desert, and we find ourselves in Exodus 19, 50 days after all of that, and they come to the bottom or the base of Mount Sinai, and they're about to receive the law. And so this is an extremely important day in their history and even in ours today. So fast forward to today, even in the world that we're living in and watching the news, we're still praying for God's protection for Israel. Genesis 12 tells us to bless Israel. As a church, from a missions perspective, many of you know that we continue to plant churches and support pastors in that area. We support addiction treatment centers that are seeing men and women freed from the power of addiction come to know Christ, answer his call, and begin to take that gospel into the world, making disciples of other people. I've got a friend who's a pastor in Bethlehem, and he's from Gaza originally. So he's trying to go in and out of there to help as much as he can as well in this Palestinian territory that he's in right now, reaching people with the power of the gospel. So God is still moving in a powerful way in that part of the world, and he still asks us to pray. So let's go back to Mount Sinai. God's about to speak his very first words to the entire nation. And in these words, God reveals his heart for his people and also his plans. Let's look, if you've got your Bible, turn with me to Exodus chapter 19. Let's look at verses 4 through 6. It says, "You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." This is the heart of God. Not just for Israel, but for you and me, to bring you close. He wants to have a real relationship with you so that we can be his disciples. And then he says, "Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." So then we would be not just a disciple, but as priests, we would be making disciples, right? It's impossible to make a disciple when you're not a disciple yourself. So there is an order in that. So this is really our job description as Christ followers, to know God and to lead others to know God. And this has been his plan all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. But the problem in the Old Testament is that this was an external law or a set of rules that they were called to follow, and many were lacking a soft enough heart to connect with a living God. They weren't seeing that this had to be an internal connection instead of just following a rule. That's a problem for some of us today, that we try to be good people. We try to even follow, some people, the words of Scripture. But without a real relationship with a living God, you're not a disciple. You're not following in his steps. If you love God, you'll love what he loves. And so this was the challenge. So Israel couldn't fully obey this covenant because their hearts had been hardened. And that hardness, just like today, comes from sin. But even in the middle of that time, Ezekiel tells us that God was always working on a better way. God always has a plan. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 to 27. It says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And I will remove from you your heart of stone, talking about that hard heart, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will, listen, don't miss the I wills in Scripture. Anytime you see those words, circle it. Don't miss those I wills. I will put my spirit, his spirit, in you. So now it's no longer an external rule or a law. This is an internal connection with the spirit that's filling them. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. So his power at work in our lives moves us daily to follow him. Now we fast forward to the New Testament. A new Pentecost was needed, and Jesus came, right? The ultimate Passover lamb. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross. He went into the tomb that couldn't hold him there, and he came out 3 days later, resurrected by this Spirit and filled with life. And for the next 40 days, he goes around teaching his disciples and preparing them for this promised gift. This is what he said in Acts 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So then after he says this, he ascends, and 50 days after he came out of that tomb, Acts chapter 2 says this, in verses 1 through 4, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. They were there in the upper room. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind just filled the place that they were in. Came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Now listen to this. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So they were Spirit-empowered, Spirit-enabled. The Holy Spirit wants to enable you today to be strengthened, to be guided by him, to be filled by him. In that day, the people that were in that room, the people that were close by, no one could deny that God was there. And it changed their life forever. The same Spirit that I saw in my mother, I could not deny that God was at work in her life. And it changed me. It changed me forever. Interestingly enough, even after being with Jesus for 3 years, the disciples, they couldn't make it work on their own. The things that they had heard, some of them were trying in their own strength to make it work. But now the gift of his Spirit that he promised comes, and they go from being confused to being convicted and empowered in this moment. Now, when you read the rest of the New Testament, you read it with a different understanding, knowing that they are now anointed by the Holy Spirit to do what God had called them to do. And you know what? The good news for you today is that that upper room experience is still available to all of us to be filled with His Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to fill you to overflowing. He wants to empower you and to give you the kind of life that He has intended and called you to have. I could not live the life that I do effectively without the Holy Spirit filling me and guiding me, shaping me and strengthening me. I could not do it without Him. Listen, there have been moments in prayer when I've run out of words to pray. And it's that prayer language of the Holy Spirit that just overtakes me in the moment. And it's like praying the perfect will of God. You can have His strength. You can be filled with that prayer language if you seek God and ask Him for it. The Holy Spirit, it's not something that He reserves for certain people. He wants to fill all His people with the Spirit's power. Corrie ten Boom, is a late author and great speaker, once said this: trying to do the Lord's work in your own strength is the most confusing, exhausting, and tedious of all work. But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then the ministry of Jesus just flows out of you. Powerful. Let me give you a few things that the Holy Spirit empowers us to do when He fills us. The first one, we're empowered to live righteously. You see, we've got to all recognize that we're living in a battle, a spiritual war, and it's very real. And Scripture is quite clear on this truth. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18 says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." How many know sinful nature is always craving not the things of God, but the things that are quite the opposite? So this is that internal kind of tension that I'm talking about, that the Scripture is alluding to. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. And these two forces, they're constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out those good intentions. Now listen to this. "But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses." So it's no longer about living under the weight of the law. You are now empowered by the Spirit to walk out the truth that God has given you. It's no longer something external. This is a matter of the heart. So even when you want to mess up, some of you know what I mean when I say that. There's times when you're like, I want a little bit of this and I want a little bit of that, right? Even when you want to, when you're walking with the Spirit, there will be this voice on the inside of you, the voice of the Spirit that's guiding your steps, saying, "This is the way. That is not the way. This is the way," right? And so we need to hear that voice and never forget it. John 16, 13, in the first part of that verse, Jesus says, "But when He," talking about the Spirit of truth, "comes, He will guide you into all truth." He is there as our guide. Second thing we need to know is that we're empowered to live supernaturally. You know, a study of the life of Jesus is really the study of power. Acts 10:38 says, "And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Isn't it interesting that knowing all the things that Jesus did, Jesus was saying to you and I, I'm just a model. I'm showing you that someday you will do even greater things than I've done. That's hard to get your mind around. But God wants to do that in the generation that we're living in. He wants to work by His Spirit through you, not to make you powerful, but to reach the world with the gospel, right? Sometimes people think that the Spirit's enabling power is to make us somehow, whoa, like I've got the power to control people, I've got the power to control my own destiny. No. It's all about he must increase, I must decrease. It's about humbling ourselves, but also understanding that we're empowered to do what he's called us to do. Romans 8:11, in the first part of that verse, says that the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. The same Spirit, that same Spirit is now at work in you through the gifts that he's given you. And next week we're going to dig into that. We're going to look more at spiritual gifts and their significance in our lives. And then finally, the third truth that I want to give you, that we see when the Holy Spirit fills us, that he empowers us to do, is that we're empowered to live missionally. You know, once you know him, we recognize that the power he's given us in spirit-empowered living, it's not just for us, it's for others. It's to live our lives in such a way that he is lifted up in every situation, which brings us full circle. Full circle missionally, because we talked about the Great Commission. We've been talking about it for weeks now in Matthew 28, to go. That's the mission we're talking about, to go into the world, to make disciples, to baptize, to teach, to train. God wants you to be a disciple so that you can make disciples. But he hasn't just left you to do it in and on your own strength. He wants to fill you with his Spirit, to live a Spirit-empowered life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the power that's needed to live this life of faith. We thank you, God, for the work of the Holy Spirit within our lives. Holy Spirit, we love you today. We ask you to fill our lives in every way to overflowing. For those that don't know you, Lord, I pray that you'd reveal yourself, Holy Spirit, to them today, that you would fill them to overflowing, that people would speak even through prayer, that language that only comes through knowing you as we trust you. We know that you're here to guide us, to shape us, to strengthen us, and to live successfully and effectively the life that you've called us to live. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.